Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Amy Beth with Allison and JP. And the second part of the montage we wanted to talk about that will probably take a little bit of time is unpacking the whole Ilhan Omar situation. The Somalis that are in Minnesota that apparently just a few bad actors are responsible for the $1 billion fraud. But I found a little bit of info about who's still receiving money. And then my mother-in-law sent me that lady from Columbus. I have family in the area of the Somalians there as well. But did you not, what was your instant response when you saw Ilhan on the news?
She coordinated the whole flipping thing. She was so uncomfortable. She was so nervous. Her eyes, she couldn't even look him in the face. Like, I've never, that whole leftist little, what are they called? The squad?
Oh, yeah.
The whatever? Bless. Just the squad?
The squad, yeah.
The loser squad? The I've lost my mind squad, and I'm proud of it. They are always so confident when such bravado and just arrogance and bleh. And to watch her was amazing because you know, she knows exactly what happened. She knows exactly who coordinated it. She is in on the whole thing, and she knows her time is up. Mm. And Tim Walz is going down, too. Mm. It's not going to be good.
No, it's not.
What a puff interview from Jake Tapper, too.
He gave her every owl,
can right?
You, can you just shed some light on this? And then, you know, when she looked as flustered as you were saying, he didn't press her. He goes, okay, well, we should note that a small group of people shouldn't represent an entire ethnic group in America. It's like, no, you're saying that third parties were responsible for $1 billion in 1 year? Like,
yeah, it's all your cousins that ran the third parties.
So all of the Somalians who were involved, it wasn't like, you know, half Somalians, you know, white people, like they were all the same, you know, group of people. And I think it's fair to say, hey, like, I don't know, the out shouldn't be, well, they don't speak for all Somalians. It's like, how about we say, how the heck did this happen and how are they going to be held accountable?
Well, but did you see the interview I sent you a little while ago, or not an interview, where she was just on her little phony phone recording a reel telling people basically, don't do anything, offering a threat. Issuing a threat?
Yeah. What do you mean don't do anything?
I sent it to myself, so I'll pull it up real quick.
Let's play that because you have the one Ilhan who cannot get any words out because straight up deer in the headlight. And I couldn't agree with you more. You're right. She coordinated the whole thing and then got caught, didn't think it was going to happen. Now, you know, everybody's up in arms. And then I found this just as the show was starting that she went off on a reel, which I think is also very arrogant because here comes the bravado again. Here comes the arrogance. It's breathtaking, these people, really and truly.
You want to play it real quick?
Yeah, let's play it real quick.
Okay.
And then get like y'all's response.
Trump and
the other
his
side.
Cronies want to act like we have no power to respond. The truth is we are more powerful than we think we are. And I want to underscore the importance of using every single leverage that we have at our arsenal, because we do have a lot of leverage. We need to make sure that those who are collaborating with the authoritarian regime pay a costly price.
Okay. Who handed her that script? Because she's reading that whole thing.
She was, right?
She knows. Yeah, they're in panic mode. Her handlers, her people are in panic mode. And somebody handed her a script and said, this is what you need to say. Mm. And I love that she said arsenal, because that is war language. And yeah, that is not in the spirit of unity language. But we're the ones that are so bad.
And what leverage do they have? We're allowing you in our nation from you're not even a nation. You're just a
just wrote that down
piece of land that's constantly killing each other. We allow you to be in the United States of America. You don't have any leverage. Sorry.
None. And yet you think you do.
Well, they do because they have all the crazies. I mean, they have they have all the people that will do really crazy things.
And I think ICE going door to door in Minneapolis, you guys, I think we're going to see things we wish we wouldn't. Mm. They're not going to go quietly.
Good point. Hey, I know we got to go to break, but that reminds me that Steve Marshall had to reschedule for tomorrow. So he will not be on today. We would love for you to stick with us, though. But in case you're wondering when we get to the end of the show and we have no Steve Marshall, he will be on tomorrow. But we'll be back with more news. Stick around.
Welcome back to Right Side Radio. JP, I did that for dramatic effect.
What'd you do?
Pause. I pulled my glasses off. You like that? Like
she stopped, pulled her glasses off and goes, "You're listening to Right Side Radio."
There's lots of practice for that.
It reminds me of Walter Cronkite. Like,
which is Walter CIA? I don't know. So I'm Amy Beth with Tucker Allison and JP. I mean, just all these people. Come on. Can y'all just tell the truth? That's why we're here. Oh, wait. So we were discussing. All right. We've already had a discussion. Feel free to text in Christmas movies. I did share with y'all about magnesium L-threonate. And then we got to the miraculous montage. We're talking about Ilhan Omar getting a fluff puff Care Bear share, as John Cooper says, interview from the Jake Tepper. I'm so serious, except he's not, and that was a ridiculous interview. Then Eagle Eye Allison picked up that Ilhan, on her next little reel that she made, was reading something, because then she offers and goes from being this, I don't know how this happened, you know, all these people grew so fast, I don't know a thing, to making threats.
Pick up your arsenal.
Come on, man.
Use everything in your arsenal.
So what we know, just for funny fun, is that 130,000 new arrivals are happening every year, basically from Somalia, Mexico, and a few other places, but mainly those two places. And what's happening in Minneapolis is that ICE is going to go door to door. At least that is what they've said they're going to do. But what's happening is that American birth rates are plummeting. And as we learned earlier this week from a Muslim, is that they're breeders. So they're breeding and having lots of children, and we're having none. And then Minneapolis, among other communities, are going to start to try to enforce Sharia law. Some of them already have Sharia courts or mediation courts, but they're Sharia courts. Because they don't believe, and this is what we have to understand, they do not believe they have any borders or any boundaries. Wherever they want to settle is where they're going to settle. And whatever laws you have, who cares? They're above you. We are the infidel. Of their trilogy that they read, of their three books, 51% of it has to do with us, the kafir, the infidel. More than half.
Never heard the word.
A tiny percent. But that's who we are. And so we don't matter. They do what they want when they please. So this $1 billion fraud in Minnesota is perhaps the tip of the iceberg. But that's just a little reminder that we're not just being mean and cruel. We're dealing with people who have ripped you off. So what are we going to do about it?
I didn't get to this in Hot Flash News yesterday, which I have more today if we need it. But the global population of white people. Mm. And this starts to delve into the subject of feminism, which I'm not sure we're ready for. But it is clearly the feminist movement had a underbelly that wasn't just for equal rights. It was for depopulation and destabilization of the family and society in general. But 100 years ago, roughly 35% of the globe was white. 50 years ago, 20%. 25 years ago, 15%. Today, white people make up just 8% of the global population.
I'm sorry. I have a little question, though. I thought there's a bunch of white supremacists everywhere.
Well, and I thought that we are the oppressive majority.
Yeah.
But we are the minority. But somehow it's all our fault.
Yeah, we're terrible people.
I thought Great Replacement was a theory.
Yeah, that's not You're right.
Mm-hmm. You're a conspiracy theorist.
Sorry.
Isn't it a Conspiracy Thinker Thursday?
Ah, it is.
Yes, so, ma'am. Great replacement. It's not happening, but we're just down from 35% to 8% of white population. And think about that. I mean, you would expect there are more brown, black people in the world. You look at other continents, but you've got America. You okay?
I just drank a little too loud there. Put my mic on.
It's okay. I didn't know if you like swallowed a fly.
No, I just souped it like soup.
Your eyes got so big.
I heard it reverberate through the microphone.
This is radio theater. But anyway, I mean, you've got all of Europe, Russia, America, you know, and we are down to 8%. That's terrifying.
Well, so I don't know if y'all saw the clip of when Tucker was talking to Piers Morgan like last week, and it was in London, and Tucker was saying, you know, England was 90% white at the end of World War II. Now it's 60% white. Do you think that's okay with you? And Piers, you know, said, oh, I think that means we've just evolved. And then Tucker goes, what's one thing that's better now than when you grew up? And he goes, oh, well, the food is much, much better. So basically he's selling out England's identity for curry and spicy, tasty food.
I hate curry.
It's like, you know, but that's the thing is it's not racist to say that, you know, I don't know. The great replacement is not really great because the people who come in don't share the values that make America, make England, make the West what it was. So I don't know. I don't think. Look at Somalia. Literally, look at Somalia. What's going on over there? They're not even a nation. They're just constantly killing each other. Mm-hmm. You think they're going to have the same values as a Christian European country like America? So it's not hateful. It's facts. Like, you know, we're not saying one person's more superior than the other. It's like you're really infiltrating. And then when you're a guest here from your war-ridden country, you're saying that we need to use our arsenal and our leverage to fight your authoritarian regime. Like, I'm sorry. That's not how guests talk. That's how conquerors talk when they come in and take over a nation. So that's the problem. And then just the billion-dollar fraud in a year is like a cherry on top. You know, that's, and then there's that. So
it is very hard for, I saw something this morning that I thought you guys would be interested in, not knowing what we were going to talk about today, but it's a British guy, and I've got to go back and I want to watch the whole podcast, but he said, he's an older fellow, and that's saying something, you know, because I'm, he said, there's this universal myth when it's talking about cultures and universal myth of human sameness. That it's a gigantic denial of history, of language, and culture. And it's an utter and complete catastrophe, this idea that we are the same. We are not the same. All cultures are not equal, and it is not wrong to say so. We value different things. And if you are going to be an interloper and choose not to melt in and become one with us, then we have every right to suggest that you find your way back somewhere where you can blend in. But that really hit me hard. I had to watch it three times because I thought, what a brilliant statement. The universal myth, and it's a liberal idea. It is not a conservative idea. I'm sorry it's not, because conservative meaning we want to conserve what is good about our culture. A progressive is progressing out. Those concentric circular rings are going out and out and out. We're saying, no, there's some things we do want to preserve. But he said that it's a liberal idea that there is a myth of sameness and it is ruining everything. Mm-hmm. What's interesting that he didn't include is that as believers, what we know is that the dignity and worth that we seek, that they're trying to seek because they're saying, you follow our law as a Muslim, you convert, become an Islamist, or die. Basically, that's what their book says. That's not just me. That's their book. It says it. Versus getting dignity and worth from the inside, they're trying to convert from the outside, and that's never going to work. But that myth of sameness, our uniqueness can only come from one person, and that's from our Creator. They're trying to have it one way, and that way is going to end in utter destruction. And we're seeing it in Minneapolis. And I think that just, I've said it before, it only scratches the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I'm thinking about what I said, that it's terrifying that only 8% of the population is white. I don't care about the color of your skin.
Right.
If that had happened organically, that's fine. That's what you look at the Jews and Gentiles, you know, when the Gentiles were folded into Christ's death and burial and resurrection, you know, there was a melding of cultures. There was a melding of groups of people. I'm great with that. But it goes back to what JP's saying, is that this was a conquering thing. This was a planned program, a planned agenda to take over the white population. And I really want to play that clip that I sent you of that stupid professor when she talks about decolonization should be your only goal. So again, hear me. It's not about needing white people. It's about not allowing us to be what God and who God made us to be. I mean, okay, think about it. Same is so boring. Why do we love going to Africa? Why do we love going to Italy? Why do we love going to Mexico? Because the cultures are different. You learn, you expand, you experience new things, you open your mind, you get to meet new people. I don't want to go to Mexico and have it be like Birmingham, you know, and vice versa. So this whole oneness of what you're talking about is so not the way God intended. And it's not natural. It's scary. It's robotic. It's, I would say, demonic. It's very globalist. I don't like it at all. But it's not about having more white people.
Right.
It's just about allowing us to be who we are, appreciating each other and our differences, learning from each other, and you know, taking from a culture what you want. It sounds so stupid because we would go to the to the resorts of Mexico over Christmas every year. But every time I came back, there was something I learned. I mean, I'll never forget watching the kids that had absolutely nothing in front of their houses, the happiest kids, and just going, you know what? A simple life is something that America doesn't value. But you take back and you're like, I don't need all those things. And so you learn. And it breaks my heart that this is where we are, of these just people that, and really what happens, they're going to all eat themselves too.
Yes.
So I don't know who are they wanting us to all be like in the end? Like when that professor says, and we need to play it, when she says we need to decolonize, who is she wanting us to decolonize to? Then you're just setting up another oppressive state.
It's a utopian fallacy where only a few people are going to be in charge, but because they're a professor and an elite right now, they think, I, of course, am going to be included in the group I'm talking about, without ever realizing, like the Somalians, like here, they're all going to eat their own.
Right. Somebody wins. Somebody rules.
Yes.
Every time. When we come back, can we resend it to you, or do you have it?
I can pull it up. And I want to add this one little piece before we go to break. You know,
just take us to break.
It's Western civilization is Christian. Like, all the way back from Rome, Western civilization is Christian society. Why it's been so successful. So it's not just a race thing. It's an anti-Christian thing. They're trying to conquer Christianity and conquer the West to be anti-Christian. John Adams, who was considered the mastermind of the American experiment, he literally said, we recognize no sovereign other than God, no king other than Jesus. America is the epitome of Christian Western civilization. So that's what, it's not just an anti-white thing. It's an anti-Christian thing that they're trying to make it no longer Christian and scare Christians into silence. So that's what it all comes back to at the end.
So good.
Yep. You're right.
And now it's time for a break. You're listening to Right Side Radio. We'll be back on the other side. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. This is JP alongside Amy Beth and Allison. We were talking about this clip we wanted to play. We're going to get right into it. So this is a Minnesota professor who was talking in this video. It's pretty crazy. It connects to what we were talking about before, but just listen to what she says, and then we'll dissect it.
Of all liberation struggles in the movements that seek a world of justice, equality, and peace, that seek to dismantle the United States, I hope you seek to dismantle the United States. And if that isn't your politics, okay? I speak as if everybody has this commitment. And the thing is that you should. You should listen to Indigenous people when they're telling you that this is the goal. And that not only is this the goal, but this is the starting point. Because I think Nick articulated this very clearly. Decolonization is the only thing that is going to save us as a species, is the only thing that's going to save us as a planet. And everyone should just be on board with it. No questions asked. And I say this sometimes on the podcast, our Red Nation podcast, I'm the co-host of Red Power Hour. You know, like, of the most oppressed ass people in Turtle Island, Indigenous women are like on the top of that list. Okay.
Oh.
We got it.
Did we get it?
We dumped it.
Okay, good. Okay. I never heard that when I first listened to it. Okay, I think we got the point though.
Yeah.
But here's what my question was, talking about does she realize what going back to decolonization and decolonized America or land means? It means like tribal wars, no rule of law, no governing board. It's a feudal system that everybody just kills each other and takes over land. And it's not pretty.
No.
At all.
No, it's not. And it's ignorant. And if we continue the victimhood mentality, why aren't you doing good things for your community right there? Why are you going along with what's happening in Minnesota? Because that's right there in Minneapolis, is it not? Isn't the University of Minnesota right there?
Yeah. And so, she's like an Indian in a Pakistani flag.
What are you doing? Like, all cultures are not the same. To recap what we said before the break, all cultures are not the same. There is a myth of sameness. That is a lie from the pit of hell. We are not the same. And it's okay that we're not the same. We want to preserve what we have. And if you don't like what we have here, then find somewhere else to go.
Right.
But to come in bravely and suggest that you want to decolonize is nuts. It is nuts. So you have the freedom to say what you want at a university that's basically bonkers. And we're supposed to take you seriously while you freely say what you want. Do you think under what's coming for Minneapolis, if it is left unchecked, if 130,000 people still continue to come in, and they're going to try to force you to be the same, the myth of sameness, which is Islam, convert or die, this is it, or pay the tax. This is what their book says. You think you are going to be okay? You're going to be covered up so fast, lady, in a burqa or hijab, faster than you could say, what happened? But how ignorant to sit up there and say that. Say it while you can, because I promise you, if the Muslims and Somalians have their way with you there in that city, God bless you, lady. That's ignorance. That's the height of ignorance.
I don't think she knows what she's asking for. Even if you go back to when it was just Indian tribes here, what did they do? They all killed each other.
It's that simple.
It's really not that difficult. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, Bill Williams here. I want to remind you that Inspire Advisors is one of our sponsors and they are doing amazing work. Look, I know this audience. You're the kind of folks who believe in standing up for your principles. You're good stewards of your resources. But what if the companies you were investing in don't reflect your values at all? Well, that's why you need to meet Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. Because Inspire Advisors, they are experts in the field of biblically responsible investing. They can help you grow your bottom line while also be proud of what companies you're investing in. Inspire Advisors, check them out. Their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com, and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio.
Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm JP alongside Allison and Amy Beth. We'd like to apologize for this, for what slipped through the cracks there last segment. I'll just say that that's the first time I've ever had to use the dumb buttons, so I guess I didn't do it effectively enough.
I'm guessing it went silent.
Yeah, I'm guessing I didn't hold it for long enough.
Yeah.
But we apologize. If anybody out there, you know, we're sorry.
Yeah.
That won't happen again.
No. No, I don't like that word. It's a very tacky word.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was trying to hold my composure. Amy Beth did a great job because of all the texts that came in that said, JP, you didn't get that. I said, whoops.
Hey, you know what? We are a team here. And I was watching y'all's faces and I was like, well, I'm just going to go step by step now.
You are so good.
Just
so
try
professional.
To tie it all together because we covered a lot. I mean, we literally covered so very much and appropriately ended up with the Looney Tune cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs professor who has no idea what's coming her way. And I'm sorry that she does. I'm genuinely sorry she doesn't know what's coming her way.
Okay, I wanted to say this, though, last segment, but I didn't have my composure to say
it's okay,
it. JP. But, okay, so if the whole ideology is to destroy America, then maybe we shouldn't. I don't think she's, you know, an immigrant that came up, but
right.
That ideology is to destroy America. So why are we letting people in that? Literally, their ideology is to destroy America.
Yeah, no, I mean, if it's to destroy America, then it's obviously on purpose. And so the purpose is exactly what you said earlier. It's that replacement theory. And it's also, more importantly, to destroy Christianity. And I think that was a salient point. It is to, what other reason would you have?
Yeah.
Why else would you ship that many people in starting in the 90s and especially heavily under Obama? Why would you do that? Why would you ignore that the UN did put a report out, and I will find it and we will put it in show notes, back in the early 2000s about the replacement theory? This is their plan all along. Why else would you care if it weren't a Christian culture?
Yeah.
But anybody that's listening, and y'all tell me, like I really want to know. Maybe I can get on board with decolonization if somebody will tell me what we're going to. All they've said is what we're not going to be. Hmm. But what's the plan when we're done decolonizing? I've never heard that.
I think we should just watch New York and see how that goes.
Yeah,
and
that's actually
maybe that's like a good template, you know? I mean, because already, did you guys read, by the way, for example, that we're not going to, because these people are also the same kinds of people who hate the police and they're going to thwart ICE or do their best to do so in Minneapolis. Did you see that in New York, people are already being rerouted from having cops come to their house to social workers and helpers come when they need the police, when they need the authorities. So let's just let's just watch New York and see what happens, because apparently that's the bastion of success and freedom and decolonization and wonderment. Let's just watch that and see how it goes.
So you call 911 to report an armed robbery in your home and they send a social worker?
Perhaps. This is what I saw on the Twitters today, that it's already happening.
That makes
Was it Wall Street Journal that reported it?
Let's sit you saw down it too, and talk about your
Yeah, I'd have
feelings.
To go back and see who.
No, I saw it, but I'm just now thinking about what that means.
Mm-hmm. Let's discuss your father wounds. Okay.
How's your walk with the Lord?
Did you really mean to use that knife, or would you have preferred maybe just a spoon and just a whap instead?
Hey, that reminds me. Popeyes?
Did you go to Popeyes?
Remember I went to Popeyes in Selma the other day?
Yeah.
They have sporks.
I love sporks.
And it made
sporks.
Me so happy.
Well, wasn't KFC the first place to use sporks, or was it Popeyes? We need people to
Taco
tell us.
Taco Bell.
Was it
I
Taco
grew
Bell?
Up eating beans and cheese with sporks at Taco Bell. Anyway.
I think the first place I was ever eating or using a spork at was KFC. So
yeah.
I think that's the only
the
one.
The mashed potatoes.
Yes.
Man,
yes.
The mashed potatoes. The mashed potatoes, the mac and cheese. Chicken and the corn.
Yeah. But so.
Sorry.
I'll get that for us when we have our own Christmas party. I'll go grab us some Popeye. Do they have bowls?
Yeah, I think so.
Bowls of what?
Chicken, something. Mashed potatoes.
I'm sure they got bowls.
Biscuits. Okay.
Well, so you mentioned New York earlier, Amy Beth. I think this was last week. Allison and I talked about this. Literally what Mamdani's wanting to do in New York, I think, is the blueprint for what, because they use democratic socialism as the end.
Yes, sir.
But then Islam is where it ends up, because now you've got, you know, the cost of prayer in New York. And even though everybody's like, we already use, was it Arabic numerals, mm-hmm. that Mamdani is going to make the kindergartners in New York learn. It's like, but that is the beginning of, like, we're not going to teach them numbers. We're going to make sure they know Arabic numerals. So then they're going to learn how to say Arabic numerals. And that's the end. The end is the democratic socialism, the Marxism. But with all of the third world Muslim immigration, that's the end. Because those are going to be the people that benefit from it. Mm-hmm. And those are going to be the people that are in power imposing it, like Mamdani, like Ilhan Omar. So although Islam and Muslim ideology is not the selling point, the selling point is democratic socialism, that's where Islam is where it's going to end up. It's anti-Christian again. Like, that's the root. That's where it always ends up.
You're exactly right. Does anybody else find it ironic that in the midst of them saying you're going to use these Arabic numerals and whatever else are going to learn to speak in Arabic, and we can't even agree that English is our language here?
We had to sign an executive order.
I mean, yeah. Right. But I mean, it's not been codified, so they can say, well, it's not actually. It's just an executive order. So, but isn't that ironic? But he's going, well, this is what we're going to do in New York City. And we're left like Trump's having to say, well, it's actually English, guys, and I'm going to do an EO for it. It took us that long. And in New York, it took him 5 minutes to declare what he's going to do. Really? And we have no political will about much of this? Come on.
There is good news.
Oh, what?
You want a good news segment?
Please.
Little Hoover City rezoning for the Islamic Academy, the planning and zoning board meeting the other night, has made national news, and everybody is using it. I mean, it's Daily Wire did an article. Tommy Tuberville talked about it. William Wolf, who's a national influencer, made a comment. He posted another influencer that was talking about it, and he said, red states, take note. You can just say no to American cultural suicide. Breitbart did an article. Laura Loomer talked about it. So I think people are waking up to what is happening, and that is very encouraging. And I don't know. I mean, and in the Hoover, we still have to go through the city council. Always makes me nervous. We passed, you know, planning and zoning with a no recommendation, but that doesn't mean that city council won't pass it. But you're looking at this pressure. You've got national attention on this now, and I think that's what you have to do. You just have to keep shining a light in these small and seemingly insignificant North Shelby County Meadowbrook office park. Who cares? But Laura Loomer and Breitbart and Daily Wire are talking about it because it matters. And so if these things are happening in your like community, I started thinking about the in Pelham, they just purchased an old church.
Yes, they did.
They're turning into a mosque. I don't know what you do in those if you have a church building that, you know, this was an office park situation that it was not zoned for a school or a mosque. But if you have an existing church building, but y'all, we've got to start getting creative with how to fight this, with how to work, use our arsenal, the tools and the weapons in our arsenal, as that biscuit lady says. But we've got to start getting smart and sly and within the realm of legal.
Correct.
Not saying illegal, but it's good because I think people are seeing this is a creeping movement to where if you don't pay attention, you're going to miss it. And then you wake up in your Dearborn, Michigan.
That's so true.
But I think it's also an example of how the local politics matters, because that made waves nationally of people being like, whoa, that was cool. People just stood up and just said, nah, we're not going to let that happen in our community, actually. It's like, oh, you can just do that. Okay. It gets like optimism and hope for people to do it in their own communities. So it's never just, it's just Birmingham politics. Who cares? It's not going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And I like that one of the William Wolf said, you can just say no.
Mm-hmm. Like, I love it.
You don't have to give a whole big explanation. And that's what I'm hoping the city council does. No, it wasn't in our plan. They came up with a comprehensive plan for that area about a year ago. It's supposed to be a tech hub. We're not putting a school there.
And no. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's the language you use with narcissists, by the way, is just no. Just, and you don't give an excuse.
Myself.
Exactly. It is that simple. You have to have a group of people willing to stand together. Which was that not the most encouraging thing?
Mm-hmm. It really
My
was.
People that were there were overwhelmed with how many people were there and an overflow room of people to say, absolutely not. But beyond having a group of people to stand, and as you always say, Allison, courage begets courage, is you have to just be simple. Nope. No explanation, no nothing. I loved what William Wolf said. I loved that.
Good.
You could just say no.
Yep. Take note.
You really can. But I do wonder, And maybe people can like text in, what do you do about those churches that they will most certainly turn into mosques? And there will most certainly be sound pollution. Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the angle you take. I mean, all these office parks, all these buildings, you have noise pollution covenants and restrictions in cities. And now if you're in the middle of nowhere, I don't know. But we have to get creative. We have to get smart. We have to use what we have. If you go up there and say you don't want the Muslims in your neighborhood, it's not going to work out well. You can't give that as your, you know, your reasoning to the city council and expect them. They legally cannot make a decision based on that.
Yeah. And that's also a theme, though, I've noticed. The mosques, the most beautiful mosques you'll see were just former churches that were taken over. Even back from the time of the Crusades. Like, there was a video that went viral on X recently of this lady. She was in this beautiful mosque, and she was posting a video about Islam is just the definition of beauty. Look what it created. And then there's a community note of this mosque was actually a former church that was taken over back in the Crusades.
Been there. Like, I've been there.
And, you know, it's...
Is that the
Hagia Sophia?
Yeah. Yeah. The devil can't create anything beautiful of its own. It has to just twist what God has already made beautiful. But that's the theme. Of, you know, they just take over the churches because the Christians let it happen.
I mean, yeah. We all need to go, by the way. Let's go on a trip.
Where is it?
Turkey?
It's in Turkey.
Yeah.
It's Hagia Sophia and Hagia Irene, and they're beside each other. And you do see that. And you do see that they left some of the parts over from, like, 300 when it was...
Constantinople.
Constantinople. The measure of time and distance is there. But you can see that the Empress Theodora and I'm blanking on the husband's name, who was the king, they left some of it so that you could see the reliefs in the wall. It's ancient. And then the rest of it is a mosque. And I did have to wear a head covering to go in, but I did want to see it, so I wore it. But it is tragic. We have a blueprint. We know what's coming. And so now maybe Alabama's... where it starts.
See, when you went to Turkey and saw that beautiful church, didn't you want it to look just like Birmingham?
Exactly.
Because we should all be the same.
I mean, we should be the same, vanilla, blah, 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 blah.
No, you want to go to Turkey and see Turkey.
Cultures are beautiful.
People crazy. When we come back, can we talk J6?
Yes, please.
I think that's interesting. And my conspiracy thinker head... curious.
Conspiracy thinker went Thursday.
Yeah. Y'all can tell me what you think. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Right Side. We're just, you know, it's almost the third hour. We're having a day. But let's introduce the topic. Allison is reading through some of the text, but the topic of, it's really the topic du jour. Are y'all dippers? Do y'all like to dip your sandwiches in sauce?
I do like to dip.
Some.
Okay. I just needed to know if we're going to be friends, JP, which we are. I'm just wondering if you're a dipper or not.
What's your sauce of choice? Ranch.
That's me. Ranch is good. It's not
homemade ranch.
I'm not one of those people that puts ranch on my pizza, though. Like,
my kids.
Ranch is good, but not that good.
Mm-mm. So, what's your dip of choice?
Yum Yum sauce is really good.
My kids love Yum Yum sauce.
Polynesian sauce from Chick-fil-A.
That's the bomb. What about you?
Ranch. Or ketchup.
Ketchup. Ketchup's the king. So
ketchup.
I kind of
ranch, ketchup, yum yum sauce.
What are you?
Ranch, ketchup, yum yum sauce. Can I have three?
Oh,
please?
You are a three.
I'm a blend of y'all. But the ranch has to be good ranch.
It's like all the parts of you coming out in your dips.
Ta-da!
Technically, I guess you should only have two.
I know, I really should. So I'll pick ketchup and yum yum sauce.
Wow.
And ranch is just beneath there. But Chris likes that Captain Sorensen sauce from Firehouse.
I haven't tried it.
He loves sauce. I do. I mean, like, loves it. The hotter, the better. But I cannot. Are you a hot person?
I do like hot. Yeah.
Do you like hot? I don't like hot.
I like some Kung Pao chicken.
Yum.
But I can't do like jalapeno stuff.
My dad and I are the only people in the family that like hot food. Everybody else can't do it. So whenever my dad and I are alone, we get the hot food because we can never eat it when we're around the rest of the family.
Yeah. Can I interrupt this really fun subject?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Chris's from Starrett's.
Okay.
realist text.
Okay.
What do we do about turning churches into mosques? Unless we have the funds to buy them all up, we can't. It is both the beauty of a free culture and quite possibly its demise. We can't stop them from worshiping or purchasing property unless we discriminate. I would be willing to vote for that because narrow is the gate. There's got to be a workaround.
I think there has to be a workaround because we're not dealing with the normal entity of live and let live. Like, we build our churches and we go do our thing and you can join us if not. I mean, if you want to or not.
Right.
When we're dealing with a mosque, it's a wholly other situation because we need only look around the world to see it is not live and let live. It never is. That's not their plan. So I agree. Either buy it up or figure a way around outwit, outplay, outlast. I don't know the answer yet. I think that's what we're working toward.
Wow. That's good. I like outwit, outplay, outlast.
The game survivor.
Maybe, honestly, the noise pollution, because if you have a mosque, you have 5 calls to prayer every day. Maybe that's the angle you take from you find the covenants of your neighborhood or your community or your city. You couldn't go play Big X the Plug 5 times a day and get away with it.
Although you'd really want to, apparently.
I mean, I would vote for that.
Apparently.
I am here for that because I'm 21 in my listening age. But... you know, there's got to be somebody, please, that we've got some smart listeners, really smart listeners. Tell us how to do this.
Well, I mean, Christians standing up and voicing their opinions like what we saw just recently this week, you know, stepping up and saying no. Like, that's an easy one that you can do. Just step up and say no whenever they try to come into your community. I think a threat of the noise pollution is a good one because, you know, it is a hard situation if a church leaves a building and it's up for sale and then, you know, they legally buy it to make it a mosque. But also, you know, there's other situations and scenarios other than that. Christians not allowing their church to be sold to someone who's going to make it a mosque, or Christians going to a city council meeting and not allowing, you know, new mosques to come in. Like, there's a lot of ways to do it. It all boils down to Christians actually standing up and saying something. It's just got to be a priority.
Can we just not at least have a welcoming committee for them? Like, I think that there's part of it. You watch what happened in Hoover. They might think twice. I started thinking they might reapply somewhere else. But with what the people that showed up were not making it easy for them. And maybe that's part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be violent or rude. But you just have to be willing to stand up for what you know is right for your community.
It's a good word.
And maybe go buy some churches.
Yeah.
We're looking for the lottery. All right. 2 hours down. One more to go. We still haven't gotten to J6. We'll cover that. Hot flash news if we need it. We'll be back.